Amen. God bless you. Are you glad to be in the house of God today? Listen, if you're a guest with us, we give you anonymity, which basically means hang out, hide out, make yourself at home. We're not going to say or have you say or do anything to draw attention to yourself. We're just glad to have you here. And everybody said,
amen.
Can you believe we are in August? It's amazing how fast time is flying. School's getting ready to start, and a lot of you parents are like, yes! And so a lot of things are happening. Make sure you look at your bulletin. But tonight we have Aquaport. We've rented the whole water park just for you, and it's a way for you to go and have a good time with your family and friends. We call them family and friends events. And the reason we do that, number one, is it's fun to have fun. All right? You know, I mean, you can go to church, love Jesus, and have a good time. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
But secondly, the reality is that coming to church is one part of being the church. And it's about relationship. We talk about that. Loving God, giving that relationship, having a real relationship with Jesus. So important. More than what I call religion, that's man's rules to get to God, won't happen. A real relationship with Jesus. But also a real relationship with each other. Because if we're not careful, we'll come to church, see each other, see people and say, hey, good to see you. God bless you. Like you. Have a great day. And we don't even know their name. And that's not really what it's all about. It's about getting to know each other, because the reality is you're not perfect, they're not perfect. We could all realize that God still loves us and can use us, even in our imperfections, and being there for each other so that when they're down, you're praying and standing with them, and when you're down, they're standing and praying with you, because at the end of the day, you cannot live a successful Christian life as an island to yourself. It's not designed that way. Did you hear me? And so these are great opportunities to get to know people. With doing three services, you don't always know each other. And so it's time to hang out now. Praise God for the next building, the greater in Jesus' name. We received that. And we're believing for a big old foyer commons area. So after church, you can kind of hang out all day if you want. I told the first service, might even have a Chick-fil-A in there. So you just eat all the... Amen. Somebody booed who booed. So, I mean, that's all there. But until then, we're working with what we do have, and we're thankful for that, but we try to make the best out of it. It's a great way also to not only bring family and friends, but to bring someone who doesn't go to church. And this is just a quick side commercial, because we all know somebody who doesn't go to church, and a lot of times it's because they met some weird people in church, and they think everybody's like that. But you can take them a ticket, say, I got you a ticket. Don't tell them it's a church event. Come have fun. We will not preach to them. We will not invite them to church. We will not. What are we going to do? Have a good time. And you're going to run into people and talk to them, and they're going to say, how do you know those people? And just real quickly say, oh, that's my church. They rented the water park. And leave it at that. And let them think about that. And then they might even ask, wow, I need to come check it out. Hey, can I go with you Sunday? And then quickly say, yeah, probably not, you know. I'm telling you, we're supposed to be fishers of men. We gotta be wise, use wisdom. And sometimes we have lost people that we could reach for the kingdom of God because we treated the gospel like we were selling a used car that was about to break down, and we're trying to cram the gospel down people's. You gotta sign right now. And we put pressure on people. You know, Jesus is so awesome. It's like, no, if you're not willing and ready to chase after him, maybe you're not ready yet. And when you start treated that way, you're going to have people saying, I want to go to church with you. You know, I'm going, but no, I don't think you're ready yet. And then watch how that wall comes down, because now they know you're not trying to cram Jesus down their throat. And then you'll have an opportunity to truly invite them and bring them, and they can hear the gospel. And we've seen so many people saved, because that's what it's about. Did you hear me? It's not about trying to get some other church's members into the building. We're tight on room as it is. It's about reaching the unchurched and the unsaved, so they can come back into the family of God. Amen?
Amen?
So that's tonight. Also, this week, check the website every night. We will be streaming live. We have our very first youth camp that we're hosting. It's going to be in Carlinville, Illinois. And so every night at 7 o'clock, we will be streaming live. So you can check that out. It's going to be a great time. We have over 70. This is our first time ever. We've always taken teens to other camps, but this is the first time doing our own. And we have over 70. Are you going? And we have over 70-something teenagers that are going. And if you want to go and you're between 12 and 19, there is still room for you. I mean, we're doing it right. These kids are going to have a great time. These teenagers are going to have a great time. And it's going to be a blessing. Amen?
Amen?
All right, you ready for the word?
Amen.
Put your hands together. Let's get this thing going. Turning your Bibles, if you have one with you, to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. As you're turning, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I hold up this moment before you. You have plans. You know what you want to happen. And so I pray for each and every one of us. Father God, help us to be open. Help us to be receptive. Help us to be focused to receive. Help us not to be distracted by the things the enemy would use to cause us to shut down and close down. And Lord, no matter where we're at in our journey, I thank you that the best is yet to come. And today could be the day that you speak into our lives and give us the secret or the direction or the power or the idea or the connection with someone that would literally catapult us to that next season, next level. So help us to be open and sensitive to what you're saying. Because we've not come to hear from people. We've come to receive from you and your word. We thank you for your anointing, your presence, and your power. We thank you for the help from the Helper, the Holy Spirit, today, and not only in communicating and ministering, but also in receiving. And we give you, Jesus, all the praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Revelation chapter 3. Let's read this verse. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus is talking, and he said, and the context of this is Jesus is telling John through a vision, write these letters to different churches. And in one of the letters to one of the churches, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Have you heard this verse before? I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I want you to draw, if you're taking notes, write these three things down because I believe there's a pattern here. I believe there's a pattern within this verse in the context of what's happening and being spoken to this church. I believe it's a pattern in our lives. And you can see the patterns of God, and we'll give you a couple other examples. But there's a pattern here that if we can learn to apply this pattern, I believe it will help us receive what God has for us. Receive what God wants to do in us. Because Jesus said, I stand at the door. He has something for you, but we have to respond correctly to receive it. And so three things, I'm just going to give you the points right up front, and then we're going to talk about them some more. The first one is we got to learn to recognize. Jesus didn't barge through. He said, I stand and I'm knocking. If you hear my voice, we got to learn to recognize. We got to learn to respond correctly, and we have to learn to receive. Recognize, respond correctly, receive. I want you to write that down. Write it in your Bible. Recognize, respond correctly. You say, I'll remember it. No, you won't. You only hear half of what I'm saying, and they tell us that by next week, you'll forget 90% of that. Well, the reason I say that is because too many times in our Christian walk, we're struggling in receiving from God, and we do everything that we know to do to receive from God. But when you do everything you know to do to receive something that you don't know how to receive it, you will apply your ideas to God's plan. Your ideas to God's plan does not work. Did you hear me? Well, this is the way we've always done it. Just because you've always done it that way doesn't mean it's going to work. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is how the king does things. Are you with me? When we understand how the king does things, we can understand how he operates. If we understand how he operates, then we can understand how to work within the system of the kingdom. See, what happens is when you get saved, you come out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And we know how to operate in the kingdom of darkness. We know how the world works. And we think that the way the methods and the policies and procedures of the world is how we apply to the church world and to the kingdom of God. And that would be like working at a company for 20 years, getting a new job at a new company with a whole different other field, and all of a sudden you think that the way you did it before is the way you should do it there. And someone's going to come to you and say, wait a minute, that's not how we do it. Well, that's the way I've always done it for 20 years. That's how you did it when you worked there. That's not how we do it here. Well, I've done it for 20 years. Can I just keep doing it? No. If you want to be successful, if you want to flow with the organization, if you want to function with success and the way the company wants you to be successful, then you must understand the policies and procedures of the company. So you can't take the policies and procedures of the past company into the current company. You have to let those things go, though they might be similar in some areas, and find out how does the company I'm with now operate. So when you get saved, we have a tendency of taking the way we used to live, the way we've always made decisions, the way we've always dealt with problems, the way we've always dealt with crazy people, the way we've, come on somebody, the way we've always done stuff, the way we always used to pray, the way we always, and the, listen, you could have done it in the church the wrong way. Because there's people, not you, there's people that are religiously brainwashed, but they have not been biblically taught. And so they do something because it's always been done that way. And it doesn't produce any results. It's because they're not doing it the way the King of the kingdom of God wants it done. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, which references the things you want to buy, the things you want to wear, the things you want to eat, the rhythm of life, all these things will be added to you. And it's not a matter of, well, I'll just do it my way and God will make it happen. No, well, I really, really, really want it to work this way. It still won't work that way. You have to understand how the King operates. Don't make it emotional, because God's not moved by emotion. He's moved by faith. You have to understand, how does the King operate? And you can cry at the edge of your bed for hours until you're exhausted and put yourself to sleep into a dehydrated coma from crying so much. And that does not mean God's moved. God's moved by his word. He watches over his word to perform it. And if you want to understand how the King operates, you got to find from his word, what does he do? What does he want? Because otherwise, I am banging my head in frustration against the wall, trying to do what I've only known, and that's not working for me. Why? Because you're not doing it the way the King wants it done. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. We're all in the same boat. We're all growing. We have to look and say, okay, Father God, if I'm doing this, if I'm not handling this one right, show me how you want me to handle it. Because it might not make sense the way I used to be. But you've gone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Things do change. And so we not only need how to recognize, we need to learn how to respond correctly. Let me give you a quick story. In 1 Samuel, Samuel was an amazing prophet of God. I mean, he had the opportunity to anoint David. What a cool story. A lot of things he did. And at the early stages of his life and ministry, you know, I love watching movies where it not only shows where people are at and their success, but goes back to the beginning. In the beginning of Samuel, he was a young boy working and living full-time, you could say, in the church. And one night, he was laying in bed, and he heard this voice, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to his boss, Eli, and said, Eli, did you call me? What's going on? Now, this is Greg Bruce translation, but study it out for yourself. Eli says, I didn't call you. You woke me up. Don't do that. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to go back to sleep after I've been awakened. You know what I mean? Come on. Now I have to turn the TV on and watch it for 2 hours before I slowly get to go back to bed. So Samuel goes back to bed. No, that wasn't in the Bible, by the way. That was a joke. So Samuel goes back to bed, and he hears again the voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he gets up and goes to Eli. Eli, what do you need? Eli discerns what's happening. Eli gets the insight. And Eli tells Samuel, let me give you some instruction. Praise God for all the men and women of God in our lives that have helped us in those transitional phases of life and ministry. Amen. Come on, give them a hand clap. Whoever they might be in your life. We all need people in our lives that we can say, I think I'm doing it right. And they say, well, let me help you out. Let me take you out. And Eli said, I believe it's the Lord. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to, next time, go back to bed. Next time you hear that voice, that calling, that invitation, I want you to respond this way. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And Samuel did that, and he heard Samuel, Samuel. And the Bible says that just as before, God showed up and said, Samuel, Samuel. And this time, Samuel responded correctly. See, just because you respond doesn't mean he can speak. Did you notice? He had to wait until Samuel responded. Because the first thought is, you're God. Show up, turn on the light. You know what I mean? Freak everybody out and say, I'm God. Listen up. Take notes. You know what I mean? That's how we would do it. But God didn't do that. He had wait. He waited. He waited. Jesus said, I stand at the door knocking. I'm waiting. Do you know there's things that we could, that belong to us from God, that if we would respond correctly, we can receive it. Jesus said to the disciples one day, I have many things to tell you, but you're not ready. I don't know about you, that just makes me want to cry out, God, show me what I need to do to be ready for the next stuff you have for me. If it's an idea, if it's a ministry, if it's an opportunity, if it's a blessing, if it's whatever it might be. And God waited, and he waited until Samuel responded correctly. If we don't know how to respond correctly, folks, you could do all the different things, like I said, that seem right in your eyes, but it might not be right in God's eyes. And until you respond correctly, he stands quietly and waits. Until we respond correctly, he stands quietly. And we know that Samuel responded and said, "Speak, Lord." Now I want you to notice a couple things he recognized. First of all, he recognized who was speaking. "Speak, Lord." We got to learn to recognize this. I'm telling you, this pattern is throughout Scripture. This pattern is throughout stories. This pattern will benefit your life if you can grasp hold of what's being said today. He recognized God. He recognized, for us, we can say we recognize the presence of God, recognize the anointing. A lot of times we don't recognize the anointing and we miss our God moments. A lot of times we don't recognize what God's trying to do and we miss the opportunity. And a lot of times we define a God moment based on an emotion. We think all it is if I get a goosebump, a shout, a cry, a jump, a shout. You know what I mean? That's all. No, you don't understand. In my opinion, that's like the aroma of the arrival. I define it this way. Have you ever been around and knew somebody that wore very strong, good smelling, strong cologne or perfume? And if you know that and you have that connection to that person, then literally you can. There'll be times that you will know they've stepped into the room before you see them. Right? Because you're made aware of them. You recognize their aroma before you see their arrival. See, those goosebumps in the anointing is more than an emotion, more than a shout, more than a tear, more than a goosebump. The presence of God, the anointing, what most people define as the anointing, is literally, in my opinion, the aroma of his presence. See, his presence is so strong, they can get thick. The Bible says there's times that God showed up so strong that everybody had to just drop on the floor. They couldn't do anything. In fact, and that's still just a little bit of God's presence, that if God showed up right here and revealed the fullness of his presence, we'd all die. Because your physical body can't handle the glory. That's why the Bible says that you have to be transformed. Your physical body has to take on immortality because it can't handle the awesomeness and the goodness of God's presence. He is so amazing and so powerful and so pure that if he was to reveal and release his fullness, we'd all just blow up. You couldn't handle it. And so we find that we have to recognize, and so a goosebump doesn't mean that that's the end of it. You can shout and cry, that doesn't mean the end of it. A lot of times it's just the beginning of the journey. A lot of times it's the invitation to something greater. And if we learn to respond correctly, there's something else he has for us. Because he wants you to be encouraged and blessed, but that presence of God that you feel that encourages you and charges you and blesses you, and if we're not careful, that we go to church thinking it's just about getting it recharged and we leave. No, you might be getting charged up, but don't forget, that's not the end. That's really the beginning. If we learn to respond correctly, there's something greater. And when Samuel responded correctly, he began to receive. For Samuel at that time, it was an instruction. In fact, God said, "I'm going to tell you, Samuel, what I'm about to do that is so amazing that it is just going to tingle the ears of those who hear it." Can you imagine? God says, "I'm going to tell you something I'm going to do tomorrow at your work that's going to blow the minds of everybody who hears about it." For different people, it could be different things at different times. And when we respond correctly, Samuel responded correctly. He could receive. "Speak, Lord." How was his response? He was saying, "I recognize your presence." Notice, "and I recognize your position." "Speak, Lord." Have you ever been in a room and you heard someone laugh or talk, and across the room you're like, "Hey, so-and-so's here." Do you know why it's important to pray on a regular basis? Do you know why it's important to read the Word on a regular basis? It's to feed your spirit and strengthen your spirit person. It's not to get brownie points with God. It's not to get approval of people. You'll miss out trying to get people to say, "Wow, look how much they pray, look how much they read." No. It's to develop your spirit person so that you can recognize his presence. So you only recognize someone that you're around. And the more you're around somebody, you can recognize When you hear their voice, Jesus said, if you hear my voice, you can't recognize his voice unless you've been around him. So important to pray. It's not to be legalistic. It's not to be religious. It's to develop you so that you can recognize when God's doing something. Speak, Lord. What is he saying? I recognize you. And I recognize your position. You got to be writing this down. He's Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant. I recognize my position. See, the mother of Jesus, before Mary was the mother of Jesus, was a young teenager engaged to be married to Joseph, and Gabriel angel shows up. That's my angel sound. I just know when I get to heaven, angels are going to be bright and shiny, and they're going to make that like a real strong light. You know what I'm saying? You get close to a lot of power, and it's going. Maybe your angel flutters because it's got a wing. I don't know. It's your imagination. Use it. So anyway, Gabriel shows up and begins to talk to her, telling her the plan of God, and she's not getting it. She's not receiving it. But the moment she begins to understand it, and she says, be it unto me according to your word. What was she saying? I recognize this is you. I recognize your position, your Lord, and I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me your handmaid, actually, according to your word. What is she doing? She recognized him, position, and her position. When she responded, the angel left because now she can receive what God's planning on doing. See, a lot of us say, Jesus, help me with the problems and the pains, and we need to go to God when we're in challenges. Don't get me wrong. But if the only time you go to God in prayer is when you have a problem or pain, you're missing out what he's wanting to bring into your life. Because we settled for the crumbs, not realizing that all that belongs to him belongs to us. The prodigal in the parable that Jesus said, the father of the prodigal son, his brother, the father said to the brother, don't you realize all that I have is yours? We got to learn to operate the way the king wants us to operate so we can access what he has for us. You know what I mean? And it's learning to be sons and daughters of God. You say, I'm saved. No, when you're saved, you're a child of God. Did you hear me? When you're saved, you become a child of God. Well, what's the difference between a child and a son and daughter? Let me take you down to the nursery. Those are children. They're not sons and daughters. You don't say, you know, you say, this is my child, my baby. Why? Because there's still a level of immaturity they haven't learned. A son and daughter is developed and learns to operate under the will of the Father and under the principles of the Father to access all that belongs to him. Because it's the good desire of your Father to give you the kingdom. See, we still try to operate in the kingdom of God with the kingdom of the world stuff, and it doesn't work. We have to say, listen, I am open, God. Do whatever you want. I recognize your presence. I recognize your position. And I recognize my position. I belong to you. Samuel, when he responded correctly, received. Elisha and Elijah, before they made that connection, God told Elijah, I want you to go find these different people. And one of them was Elisha, and I want you to anoint him to be the next prophet. Elisha wasn't in the school of the prophets. Did you realize they had Bible schools in those days? They had a school of the prophets. But Elisha wasn't in that. Elisha just had some oxen. He was a farmer. He was just plowing his field. He was doing what he knew to do. He was just out there obeying, following the rhythm of life. And maybe you're walking through a journey of saying, God, I'm just doing what I know to do, and I'm not seeing anything great to my perspective. You keep doing what you know to do. Because all of a sudden, one day, Elijah just walked by. It just takes a moment, folks. And when Elijah walked by, he had this thing around him that he wore. It was actually a cloth that it was called a mantle, but it represented the anointing of God. And Elijah that day did something different, because as he walked by, he didn't stop and said, Elisha, I got plans from the Father. You got to get this. God's told me to come to you, and you're going to start into a whole new ministry. Now, that's how we would have done it. You know, I mean, we would have texted him, you got to meet me. OMG, big things are happening. But Elijah just walked by, took off the mantle, let that mantle, let the anointing touch Elisha, and moved on. Kept walking. And Elisha recognized the presence of God. And he ran to Elijah and said, let me go kiss my family goodbye. Let me take care of some business, and I'll follow you. And Elijah responded, what have I done to you? You gotta learn how to respond correctly. Otherwise, your God moment will move on. Oh, well, God will turn around. You'll miss it. You gotta understand the timing of God. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, redeem the time. Redeem the opportunities God gives you. And Elisha went back. He killed the oxen, had a big barbecue for everybody. That's what happened. And then went after and began to serve Elijah. And later began a ministry. He didn't get it. He didn't receive it like Samuel overnight, but over time, he responded correctly. Why? What did he do? He started serving. He recognized the presence. He recognized who God was. He recognized his position in that. And he didn't come in and say, make it happen. He said, let me serve. Submission is a key element here, folks. And so we pick up now in this, back to Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is talking, but let me give you the context of this church, the church of Laodicea. Here's what's going on in this church. They were having the best banner years of their ministry. And yet one thing was missing. One thing was missing. This is in the context where Jesus says, and we've heard this verse because it's been preached a lot, you are neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. I wish you were hot or cold, but I have to spew you out because you're lukewarm. What had happened? What had made them so lukewarm? And it goes on in that Revelation 3. He says, you have a lot of money, and there's nothing wrong with being blessed. God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. And he says, you are blessed, but you have this mindset. Their mindset, their attitude is the issue. And it says that you think that you are well taken care of, that you have everything covered, and you don't need anything. And God says, you don't realize you're really not rich or poor. What had happened? What happened to them that could happen to us that we have to keep ourselves in check? And we see that in the Matthew 13 and Luke's Gospel 8 of a parable where Jesus talks about a sower sowing the word. And that word represents the seed. And that seed represents the word of God. And each ground represents the heart. And I believe a phase of life or a phase of receiving. Because that word was to produce fruit, which means that word was to produce change in our life. And there's a phase when you begin to understand the word of God that's going forth and you get a rhema and you're operating and you're hearing it and faith is growing. But there'll be a phase when it seems like you're hitting that wall and you're hitting that wall and you're hitting the wall. God, why am I not breaking through? Pressure's coming because of that. You just got to keep digging deep and keep hooking into Jesus even when you don't see or feel him. But the next level, but that's not the problem. The next level that most Christians never get to because they stop with the challenges is that once you break through the challenge, you know what happens? The devil doesn't try to stop you anymore. The devil tries to lure you away. Stick with me. The devil tries to lure you away. He doesn't try to hold you back now. He tries to lure you away with other enticing opportunities. Didn't he do that to Jesus? When the pressure of temptation didn't stop. He took him to a high mountain, the Bible says, and showed him the kingdoms of the world and said, all this authority has been given to me, and if you worship me, I'll give it to you. And Jesus said, you shall not worship anybody else except for God. What was he doing? He was enticing him. See what happens when you begin to get the word in your life and you break through the pressure of it not happening and all of a sudden it begins to happen. You could take this into your healing. You could take this into marriage. You could take this in friendships. You can take this in health. You can take this into finances. And you say, okay, all of a sudden you're struggling paying bills, but you're reading the word and you're obeying the word and you're getting faith that Jesus is your shepherd and that you're blessed going in, blessed going out. You sow and you shall reap and you're obeying God and not overnight, but over time. It begins to develop in you and it begins to produce fruit, and all of a sudden you're getting those God opportunities. You're receiving those God discounts. You're receiving those God ideas. And now you're not just paying bills, you're paying your debt off. You're not only just struggling, you're not becoming blessed. And as all of a sudden you become blessed, guess what happens? The devil starts noticing your victory. And where he could not push you back, he now tries to entice you away. And where you couldn't, when you spent banging your head in prayer looking for one job that would just pay the bills, now you have major companies coming to you, offering you more money. Some are from God, but not all are from God. The devil knows how to offer right at the doorstep of victory. He knows how to offer an alternative plan. And I'm telling you, the devil's plans will never be what he says they are. But did you hear me? Because in your mind, you'll think, oh, if I just had that, if I just had him, if I just had there, if I could just buy that, oh, I'd be so happy, only to find out it didn't bring happiness. It will never be what he tells you it is, but it'll always be shiny to get your attention. Your ministry's starting to grow. Now you have opportunities, but they're not all God opportunities. Your business is starting to grow. Now you have opportunities, but not all God opportunities. Your marriage is starting to do well. Now you'll get opportunities. But not all God opportunities. It's amazing how the devil will bring in shiny stuff to destruction. And that was the condition of the third heart, that when they begin to see fruit in their life, they were not able to bring it to completion. Why? Because they were lured away by their desires and by potential riches. What happened to this church? They were lured away. Things were going well, and they were lured away. See, God said in the Old Testament, show me where I've divorced you. I haven't left you. You left me. Your sins pulled you away from me. God would never leave you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But there's times you're like, okay, where's Jesus? Well, he's not there. Why isn't he not there? Because you kicked him out. You ever wonder? He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church in Revelation 3. And he says, I stand outside the door. Have you ever wondered, well, how did Jesus get out the door in the first place? What's he doing out there in the first place? He's knocking. He's waiting. Why is he out there? Because we've moved him out. Sometimes we can get to a place of the rhythm of victory because of the word, and the word will bring you to a greater place of victory. The word will bring your marriage to a greater place of victory. The word will bring your health, your finances. You can go down the list. The word will make your life better. John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. But in that victory, while you're bringing that victory to completion, the devil's going to see if you're willing to drop it to go for other things that are shiny. What's some of the shiny things the devil's been taunting your attention with? What are some of the shiny things that he's trying to lure you? I've seen people, it doesn't matter, finances, doesn't mean if it's, I've seen it in ministry, I've seen it in opportunities, all of a sudden they get a little victory and they get attention and the people will come offering them chances and it will not be the God opportunities and it's there to distract them. And Jesus said, I stand on the outside now. I have to just pause and say, praise God for the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. I stand knocking. You just say, I leave. I stand knocking. If you hear my voice. Now, anybody in this modern day knows when someone's knocking on your door, you don't answer it unless you know who it is. Right? That's why you got that little peephole in the door. You know what I mean? If you really want to tick somebody off, knock and then put your eyeball right next to it too. So when they look, all of a sudden they just see your eyeball. Ah! Why do we do that? Because we know we have enough wisdom not to open up our home to someone we don't know. And yet in the church sometimes in our spiritual walk, we think that everyone should be innocent until proven guilty. That's our legal system, not the church system. I'm here to tell you that when it comes to your spiritual health, everything's guilty until proven innocent. You're not too sure on it, leave it alone. If I had a couple of sodas down here and you're like, Pastor, can I have one of those Cokes? I said, sure, you can have that Coke. Oh, but by the way, I accidentally poured some poison in one of them, but I don't know which one, but go ahead and help yourself. Common sense would be like, I'm not going to take a chance. And yet we will pollute our spirit person because we embrace everything like little kids who take everything into their mouth. We take everything in thinking, oh, it'll be okay, it'll all work out, not realizing we are bringing into our lives desires and issues that we have allowed. But why am I? Because you allowed that. You brought it in. What do? Wisdom says you don't open up to everything that knocks. You don't open up to every opportunity. You don't answer to everyone just because they called. Did you hear me? Just because someone calls, just because someone invited you to go there, just because you can doesn't mean you should. You don't open up until you recognize. Jesus said, if you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. And I'll sup with you and you with me. He doesn't say, if you open up, I'm going to just read your right act and tell you everything you've done wrong. That would be us. That's what we would do. I mean, just the other day, my daughter had one of her cousins, Madison, over, and they were swimming in the backyard, and so I went out there to swim with them, make sure they're okay. And when they got done swimming, I mean, they all got their towels, and they're walking toward the house, and they walked in front of me, and they closed the door, and it's a glass door in the back, and they closed the door, looked at me, smiled, and locked it. True story. Logan couldn't be with us today. No, I'm joking. Like, and just smiled. They get that from their Uncle David, who's ornery as all get out. And so they just looked at me. I'm like, open it up. And they're like, Daddy's going to get you. You better open it up. So I said, okay. So they took off running the basement upstairs. And so I went around. They didn't realize the doors upstairs were unlocked. So here they come down the hallway toward the bedroom. And there I stand. True story. See, Jesus doesn't say, open up or I'm going to get you. He doesn't say, I'm going to knock the door down, kick the door down. He's saying, I have something for you to experience, but I can't bring it into your life until you're willing to recognize my voice, open up your life, and let me bring into your life something better than what you have. You see that? He just talked to him about being lukewarm, but he said, I'm still knocking. I'm still waiting. I'll wait here. I'm not going to leave you and forsake you. I'm not going to give up on you. I still love you, and I will knock. And I'll keep calling out to you. And if you'll open up your life, I'll come in. And we can, it's not a matter of, oh, you're a bad person. See, that's what the devil does, bring condemnation. That's why Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. We get conviction mixed up with condemnation. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, and this is where we get into the context of the Holy Spirit, when he convicts you, it's to make you aware that the voice of Jesus is outside the door. And he's saying, I'm out. I'm not in anymore. I'm outside. Let me in. See, what we have to understand, 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that no one can call Jesus Lord without the Holy Spirit. He's the one that convinces us of sin. He's the one that draws our attention to the Father. He's the one that reminds us. Jesus said that he'll remind you of everything I'm saying. He'll speak of me. And there's times in our life, if it's not, you're lying to yourself. 1 John tells us that, chapter 1, verse 9, that when we sin, that he's faithful. And when we sin and confess it and repent, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But in the context of that chapter, it goes on to say that before that if anybody says, I never sin, you're a liar. Why? It doesn't mean you live in sin. But it means because you're human, you will sin. And when you do sin, and the Holy Spirit convinces you, reminds you that Jesus is no longer in the inside, he's outside calling. How will you respond? But he'll be so mad. No, his mercy and grace, he loves you so much that if you open up, he'll come in. You'll begin to have a celebration, a party, a dinner. He said, I'll sup with you and you with me, which means we can hang out again. Oh, the mercy of God. Yes, yes. The grace of God beyond our understanding. Yes. Because if it was us, we'd been like, you've had your chances. You don't deserve me.
Come on.
You've done me wrong. I'll get you back. Yeah. But he says, I stand on the outside knocking. Yes. If you'll just open up, yes, I'll come in. And it's the Holy Spirit who helps us with this. Because God has so much for us. If we can learn to recognize, respond correctly, we can receive what he has for you and I. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.